The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Wilberts, and I'm your host. It is Thursday, December 16th. We are closing in on Christmas and, of course, the end of the regular season, but we've got some Thursday night football to dive into. It's the Chiefs and the Chargers. An excellent Thursday night football game between two AFC West teams. Huge back-to-back bookend primetime games. We got Cardinals and Rams, and then Chiefs and Chargers. Joining me to break it down, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's going on? Well, yeah, this one's a huge one. We're talking about, you know, potentially balance of power shifting game here for the Chargers. They get a win, and they have the season sweep, and they're in first place in the AFC West.
That would be pretty big. And the Chiefs, of course, I mean, this is basically, it's not a title game, but I mean, it's kind of close to it.
This is as good as you're going to get at this time of the year, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs have coming up on their schedule. And by the way, this, if you're betting on this game, you know, it seems like these two teams are doing okay on COVID stuff. Keenan Allen coming back from the COVID list, which is the opposite thing that like 90% of the NFL is doing right now. But, you know, be wary of that throughout the day. On Thursday, Chiefs at Chargers, of course, and then Chiefs at the Steelers. And then their final two games are on the road at the Bengals, at the Broncos. I mean, you think they probably go 3-0 in those games, but I don't think it's guaranteed by any stretch of the imagination. Andy Reid won't be sitting any of his guys in Week 18. So yeah, I mean, this is a huge game. It's a massive game.
Like, not only that, Will, it's, you know, obviously you're talking about the division here a little bit, but when you expand a little bit further in the AFC playoff picture, these margins are razor thin. I mean, a lot of these teams are going to be playing all the way to Week 18 because it could come down to Week 18 when we're talking about number one seeding and stuff like that too.
Yep. The Chiefs, of course, are the number three seed right now. The Chargers are the 5 seed. And yeah, I mean, you look at the Chargers schedule and they have the Chiefs, of course, at home, at the Texans, Broncos at home, and at the Raiders. Again, they'll be favored in all three of those games.
Yep.
And so it's possible that the Chargers close out 4-0 or 3-0. And if they do that and they win against the Chiefs on Thursday night, I mean, again, this game it's not everything, but it's a lot of stuff. I mean, like it matters a ton in the bigger landscape of this matchup. So let's take a look at the injury reports as well. As I mentioned, Keenan Allen coming back. Austin Ekeler, limited practice on Tuesday, sprained his ankle. Wasn't as bad as the initial injury looked, I don't think. So that's pretty huge for the Chargers. Also, hashtag matters, Derwin James, hamstring injury, limited practice on Tuesday. We record this show on Wednesday, of course, in the afternoon. We don't have injury reports. These teams are, the Chargers are West Coast. We won't know about them for sure, but limited practice is good for both of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's right now the number one thing I think that we have to look at is the COVID situation with every team in the NFL. Right now, everything seems to be trending positively with the Chiefs and the Chargers, which you can't really say for a lot of these teams right now. So again, if you're going to if you're looking at betting this week, you might want to just really lean into this one because at least you know that you're not going to get, or at least right now, we don't have a huge COVID outbreak between any of these teams right now. You don't know what Sunday is going to look like. You don't know what Saturday is going to look like. You know, obviously the Raiders and the Browns are playing on Saturday. That's one where you just don't even know if it's going to be played, let alone who's actually going to be on.
And let's not forget either that on Monday evening, you know, shortly before the game, Jalen Ramsey and Tyler Higbee were ruled out for the Rams. So you could have a situation where, you know, any of these, just be on your toes if you're planning to bet this game, because like, and I didn't even hit the, I didn't even get it. It didn't even work, but I bet the DeAndre Hopkins over receiving yards at 58.5 when Jalen Ramsey was ruled out, it jumped up to 66.5 RIP CLV, right? Like, I got a great number. It didn't end up mattering with no Jalen Ramsey, but there are some things you could take advantage of. For instance, if Keenan Allen, or I guess maybe Mike Williams is a better example because Keenan Allen just came back from the COVID list and you know, was not likely to go out. But if, let's say Mike Williams is suddenly placed on the COVID list, Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer would shoot up. You know, you would want to have Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer props in your pocket before that game kicked off. So looking at the injury report, a lot of guys on there for LA have to wait a little bit closer to the game before we really know about those guys. Tyron
Matthew
was back at full practice. I think he was just doing rest on Monday when he missed. L'Jarius Sneed has a personal issue, did not practice Monday and Tuesday, just worth watching. And then Darrell Williams, quadricep, full practice both days. Nothing he matters. Derek Gore could be an interesting play for DFS. We'll talk about that later if Darrell Williams were out. Chiefs looking fairly healthy, on a pretty good roll right now, and that's why they are 3-point favorites in Los Angeles, which I guess isn't that shocking, Sully, because, you know, not really. The last time the Chiefs played the Chargers in LA, with when fans were allowed in stadiums, it was a sea of red, and I would expect this to be an extremely Chiefs-heavy crowd, hence the Chiefs minus -3 line.
Yeah, exactly. Usually 3 points is the kind of the swing for a home team in this one, and again, maybe the odds makers are looking at this saying, you know what, it's going to be more like a home team for Kansas City anyways. We'll just give them the points here in this one, and obviously that's, you know, on top of them playing extremely well as of late here. I like the Chiefs. I'll lay the points for sure on this one. I'm not really trying to get in the business of getting in the way of this team right now. As good as Justin Herbert's been, and this could be a game too where, you know, he goes off and puts himself firmly in the MVP discussions, but I still want to, you know, ride here with the Kansas City Chiefs just because of what we've seen over the course of this winning streak. Since week 8, they've just been absolutely dominant. And one of the big things that we've had concerns about them to start the year was just the overall sloppy play, not great on defense. They were turning the ball over, and no greater example of how bad they were at the beginning of the year was that game back in week 3 against the Los Angeles Chargers. They turned the ball over 4 times, translated to 20 points. And
20 points, that's right.
That's going to lose you a game no matter what. And so now, since week 8, basically, you know, right when this winning streak got started for them, they've committed the 3rd fewest turnovers in the NFL, and the defense has been playing much, much better. So kind of the thing that killed them back in week 3, it's no longer an issue right now. So to me, I'm sticking with the Chiefs minus -3.
Yeah, I think I like the Chiefs too. I'm sort of undecided on it. I think it could end up being a really close game, and it could be a high. Like, I can't decide. I think it's either going to go way over or way under too. I don't know. It is. I know this is not a great take for a gambling preview of a standalone primetime game. I don't have a strong take on this game, but I think I do lean towards the Chiefs. The Chargers petrify me. Justin Herbert, they've unleashed him the last 2 weeks. He started throwing down the field more, much more dangerous. Getting Keenan Allen back, playing some incredible football. Would not be surprised if Herbert has a big game. But the Chiefs, and look, like Chris Jones, was he on the injury report? He wasn't, was he?
I don't think so.
I thought he was hurt. Didn't they say he was hurt? Am I crazy? Oh, he's on the COVID list.
Okay, that's what it is.
Oh,
okay.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that, okay. We'll have to double check if
I don't again think that he's vaccinated, so he can come back.
Right. 2 tests separated by 24 hours. We'll have to double check that. And that was, let's see.
Josh Gordon also on the COVID list. I think, oh man, no Chris Jones might make me like the Chargers a little bit.
That's a little bit of a swing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge situation for them. It's the line's probably not going to move a whole lot between, you know, the Wednesday. The line's going to be 3 and it's going to be 52. So I think what I would probably, you know, a lot of times these division teams match up, you see the game go under, you know, I'm going to take the 3 points of the Chargers. I do think the Chiefs will find a way to win, but I like the 3 points with the Chargers just to keep it close. There's backdoor potential. And I wouldn't hate the idea of live betting this game either. Like, if you can get a Chargers out early to lead, you know, take the Chargers on the plus money line, you know, Chargers get out to a lead, you can take the Chiefs plus money line and sort of give yourself a window to get both.
And I'm just reading a story here, and it's just a little anecdote that Coach Andy Reid suggested that Jones could still play on Thursday night. So I guess that's an indication of that he's vaccinated. All it takes is two negative tests within separated with 24 hours.
Yeah, so. And again, we know we record this on Wednesday, so we won't know that. He'll have to pass the test on Thursday in order to get activated. He's a huge deal for their defense on the interior.
For sure.
You know, and that concerns me a little bit. I'll lean Chargers, and I honestly don't know. It's just a good number on the total. I don't know that I mean, I think inherently I would probably lean over, but it feels like one of those where you bet the over and then there's just, you know, 3 points in the first quarter and all of a sudden it's dead.
Well, it's natural. I mean, you're going to look at this game, you're going to look at that number and you go, okay, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Justin Herbert, this game's going over. But if you look back a little bit further and you look at these defenses, again, Chris Jones is a huge one for Kansas City, but overall, they have been playing very good as of late. I believe they've given up the second fewest points since this winning streak has started for them. So again, they've been pretty lights out defensively, Kansas City has. And you have a Chargers team that is number 9 in the NFL in DVOA against the pass. They're terrible against the run, but they're very good against the pass. So if you're looking at it from that standpoint, you say, okay, even if they turn this into a ground game, Kansas City does and says, you know what, you're terrible against the run, we're going to run all over you. That on its own trends towards the under here. So there's a path where this goes under for sure.
I think that is the path where the Chiefs are. They say, all right, look, because Andy Reid's not—he's not going to force Patrick Mahomes to just wing the ball around 100 times just because Patrick Mahomes is playing better or he's trying to get the stats up. I mean, he's willing to adjust his game plan to whatever it is that the opponent, you know, to attack an opponent's weakness. And in fact, I might even have a prop related to that, which we will get to after this break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
In case it wasn't clear, Sully likes the Chiefs. I lean Chargers. I think I lean Chargers and under.
I think I'm leaning Chiefs and under.
Okay. Yeah. And one of the main reasons why, and you've seen this number climb pretty substantially over the last few 12 hours or so. I should probably tweet it out on Tuesday night when I bet it personally. But when we look at player props over at Caesars, the current number for rushing yards for, oh my God, this thing is shot up. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I got it at 50.5, over 50.5 on Tuesday night. It has jumped up to 56.5 at Caesars, still juice to the over at -130.
I mean, this morning I had it at 52.5.
Yeah, it was 52.5 this morning. Let's see, and it's looking at, let's see. So I bet, I'm just making sure it's moving at the same pace. Yeah, I got 55.5 on my local here, and it was, I bet, where's this bet? Too many bets to scroll through. just digging through here. I got I bet over at 50.5 on Tuesday night. Yep. So about 10 o'clock. So it is jumped up, and I would expect that it continues to go up.
Yeah.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire has ran well since he came back from injury. The Chargers are terrible against the run. Again, we think the Chiefs will attack the Chargers via the run. You want to pound the football on them. You want to control some clock. You want to have these big, long drives, and then you want to force Justin Herbert to have to throw the ball a bunch and to sort of press if he feels like he's limited in time. And that's the formula for beating good young quarterbacks is to, I mean, we see it with Mahomes, we see it with Josh Allen, all these guys. So I love the Clyde Edwards-Helaire over rushing yards. I mean, 56.5 is still as high, obviously. I mean, I would still take it. But I think, and you're with me there.
Yeah, I'm right there with it. And again, just to hammer it home, The Chargers dead last, 32nd in the NFL against the run in DVOA. Over the last 3 weeks, they're allowing an average of 126 yards per game on the ground. It's just a money matchup for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's already shown success this season against this team. He ran for 100 yards against them back in week three. He's healthy now. I do think that they're going to double down. I think that people might be, you know, a little bit scared away from this number, because if you look at last week, he split snaps with Darrell Williams. Gore ran for a bunch of yards, but that was in a blowout with a lot of those carries coming in the second half. If that game was close, you would have seen CEH have a ton more touches. They were just keeping him fresh here, which, again, honestly, for me, that actually makes me feel much better now, because he doesn't have that wear and tear, you know, on a short week coming from a Sunday to a Thursday as he typically would. They kind of preserved him in the second half, or particularly in the fourth quarter.
Oh, 100%. He wasn't even on the field.
Right.
But it was actually surprising because Mahomes was still out there. But Edwards-Helaire was not. He was on the sideline as Derek Gore was getting all the carries and ripping off long runs. Yeah, I mean, you saw it. It's 12 carries against Dallas in a 19-9 win, 14 carries against Denver in a 22-9 win, and then down to 10 carries and just 37 yards. He did score twice, however, and caught three passes, which we'll get to in a second. But if it gets up to 60, you're starting to get a little thin nervous there.
Then you get nervous, because again, you're really banking on, you know, just this whole thing to come to roost. That's a low number for a guy who's going to be that feature back, the starter for the Chiefs, and he's going up against a Chargers defense that's terrible against the run. But you don't want to tempt it too much. Again, we're looking at that as a value play because we're just eyeballing it that it's too low. Everybody else is too. That's why it's shooting up. But if that gets a little too high, maybe it's a stay away.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, I need to figure out what I thought the number should be, or what the number I thought would be that I would be willing to, or like my stop number for it. Cause I mean, I think when you look at the Chargers, I mean, certainly, obviously they're the worst run defense in football. I mean, they gave up 135 yards, 96 to the Bengals, 147 to the Broncos. And that Bengals game was Bengals were trailing that whole time. It's just like hard to even look at these, because the last 2 weeks, you know, they've blown out their opponents.
Right.
The Broncos ran all over them. Was that the Javonte Williams game? It was, wasn't it? Javonte Williams ran, what did he run for? Oh, no, they had both their backs in that one. Both Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon had over 50 rushing yards in that game. So, and look, Darrell Williams doesn't run as much as, like, they use him more in the passing role.
Right.
And especially early in games. There is no reason why Clyde Edwards-Helaire shouldn't see 15 to 20 rush attempts and get over, let's just say he averages, what was the average on the season? He averages 4.5 on the season. So if we get to, I mean, I think 60 is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I was 56.5, I'm still fine with. I think he gets to 75 rushing yards in this game.
Okay.
Maybe 70.
But I think the only thing that's concerning, or that would concern you, is if all of a sudden Herbert comes out guns blazing, gets up, and then you're seeing a lot more Darrell Williams, and that's the way that thing goes under. But if Kansas City gets a lead here, they'll control clock, they'll control pace with CEH for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to see 5 or 6 early carries where he's just, you know, even if they give him a touchdown on the first drive to the Chargers, he's still going to see some early. They're not going to, but you know, if it gets to 21-0 or 14-17-0, something like that, maybe they sort of panic a bit and start throwing Mahomes as well. You've also got you got under Mahomes passing yards. Look at you.
I know. I'm feeling taking myself on this one.
Taking the highest upside passer in the NFL, former MVP, 5,000 passing yards, 50 touchdowns in the season, taking his under passing yards.
Only me. Well, it does correlate.
We're shaming ourselves into unders.
It is. It's like, all right, I guess I got to throw one in here. Yeah. Fine. But I do think it correlates where it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think that they're going to lean on him in the running game, which again, just naturally takes away passing opportunities for Patrick Mahomes. And if you look again, you know, obviously, can do this in the blink of an eye, can get over this number, no problem whatsoever. But he's only hit it once during this winning streak. It was a huge game against, I believe, the Raiders a few weeks ago, not last week, but a few weeks ago when they played the Raiders in Las Vegas. He went over for like 400 yards. But outside of that, hasn't really been asked to throw the ball out of the football field over the course of this winning streak. And on the season, he's averaging 280. Over this streak specifically, it's 258 per game. So to me, you know, I just think that they're finding different ways to win these games other than just saying, hey, Patrick Mahomes, go out there and try to win us this football game. They're able to kind of figure out on defense through the running game. They've been able to not ask too much of him. In Los Angeles, they're allowing 207 yards per game this season. That's even lower over the last 3 weeks here. That secondary is pretty decent. They have a bad run defense. Andy Reid's a smart head coach. He's not going to put too much pressure on his quarterback when he doesn't have to.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement. You know, again, the 289, I guess the only tricky part is just if it turns into a shootout.
Well, then you're out. Then you're out. But again, if you see how the game is going, how I think it's going to go and how I'm going to be betting it, yeah. Well, then I'm naturally going under.
Right, for sure. If you're playing the under, if you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a big game, it stands to reason that Mahomes will not have a huge volume passing game. And, you know, we've seen it. He can have, you know, as you point out, the last few weeks, you know, 20 of 24 against the Raiders, 258 yards. That was a massive blowout. So hard to really take too much from that. He didn't even. The other thing is, he's not completing a ton of his passes. You know, he's completing just 63% of his passes over the 6-game win streak, which is shockingly low for. You know, if you told me that the Chiefs won 6 straight games, I would assume that Patrick Mahomes is doing more than 63% of his passes, 9 touchdowns, 3 picks over the course of those 6 games.
Yeah. And the other one there, too, I think is passing touchdowns. It's 2.5. And the money's just not really – the value's just not really there for anything. I mean, I think he's had 2 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. It's just – it's not there for anything, you know, to try to jump on that at all.
If you take that, you take the over at plus 140, I think, anyway.
Right, exactly. And you hope for a bananas night. And just
well, you can also have the little one-yard, you know, flick passes to Tyreek Hill that count as touchdowns as well. Yeah, I would agree with you completely on that one. That number hasn't moved a ton. Mahomes is actually, it's down to 287.5.
Jeez. Okay.
Just to the over now, minus 125. But I mean, it's hard. We record the podcast again on Wednesday afternoon. So you wake up on Thursday morning and listen to it, you know, the numbers could have shifted. And it's tough to, but we're, you know, we go with the numbers that we have as we're recording the show. I kind of like Justin Herbert under pass completions, but it's down to 25.5 now. He's just the last 2 weeks, I guess he 23 last week in the Giants win, 26 against the Bengals. God, he's gone over that like each of the last, all but one of the last 4 weeks. That might be a little too low for me. Just again, there's a chance that this turns into a shootout.
But I'll say this though. I mean, you know, we just looked at both quarterbacks. Both of their props that we highlighted are starting to fade under now. So maybe that's an overall consensus of how everybody's viewing it. Does this game go down?
That's a great point. Is the way that these props are, and it doesn't always tell the story. Nobody can definitely predict what's going to happen. But if you see the rush yards moving up and you see the passing numbers moving down, it means that there's a consensus either with sports books or with bettors who are important to how the books adjust, that this game is going to be a little more low scoring than one might anticipate. I'm taking the over on Clyde Edwards-Helaire receptions at 2.5. It's plus 130. That's kind of the reason why I'm doing it. It's like the opposite. Like I didn't want to take a really juicy under. So I figured like instead I'll take an over. That's that give me plus money. That's kind of like taking it under, right?
I mean, yeah, sure. It's the same thing. Same concept, right? The same thing.
Yeah. Very sharp bettors. Edwards-Helaire has, I believe, I'll just switch up his page 1 sec. He's got 8 targets in the last 3 weeks, all of them caught for passes. Last week, all three total passes for 5 yards, which is very bizarre. But they're using him more in the passing game. He's a good receiver. Darrell Williams is still going to be the primary receiving back, but I think they will design some plays for Edwards-Helaire, and we should get 3 targets in this game. I anticipate he'll catch them, some screens, some swing passes, you know, short yardage stuff, so you don't have to threaten that defense in the secondary, and you can put some pressure on those linebackers. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he saw some early action in that passing game.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Especially again, you know, you do have to mix it up a little bit. I know I talk about it a lot with the Patriots, where it's, you know, if you have James White out there, okay, it's an obvious passing situation. In years, it was LeGarrette Blount. Okay, you're obviously running. You know, you do have to have some versatility there when you have some mystery. So a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he is perfectly capable of catching passes. You do want to create some sort of second guessing for an opposing defense, especially when their run defense is so poor. I mean, you can start to really kind of screw around with them a little bit there too. So I like that a lot. For me, I think the one that I like the most out of this group here for my picks is the Justin Herbert over rushing yards, 16 and a half at minus 120. To me, I think that he's going to be moving around a decent amount. They've been using him, or he's been using his legs a little bit more over the last few weeks here. Over the last five games, he's averaging 34.6 rushing yards per game, well over this number. I think there's only one game over that stretch where he hasn't gone over this number. He's been a healthy kind of, you know, runner here for them. And I just think that that one, again, maybe Chris Jones being out, that might change things a little bit because he might not be flushed out of the pocket as much. But still, I like his rushing totals there. He's very capable with his legs.
Yep, for sure. And then we both have Travis Kelce props as well. The over, I took the over on his receptions. You took the over on his receiving yards. Both, I think, are fine. He popped up in Josh Hirschmeier, friend of the podcast, Josh Hirschmeier's air yards model over to establish the run, as did Tyreek Hill, which is kind of interesting. Basically, the idea is that in this model, you can, it says who's getting opportunity, but it's been unrealized and probably has a chance to explode in the near future. If both of the Chiefs guys are on there, and Kelce pops in a big way, so it's entirely possible that he ends up having a large game.
Yeah, I think this is a great bounce back for Kelce. It's one of those situations where he just hasn't been, and I think we're getting him at good value here too. I think you're kind of buying low on him, because you just look at this past few games here. It's, I think, it's back-to-back games with three catches for 27 yards. It's
identical, just terrible. And he had a terrible game against Denver where he caught 37.5% of his passes. He got eight targets, three catches. Yeah, his catch rate's down. The last 3 weeks, he's just been meh. And he is due for an explosion, especially with like the fantasy playoffs starting and everybody's like, oh, Kelce kind of sucks now. I don't have to worry about him. And then boom.
Exactly. You know, that's, and if I was in the fantasy playoffs, if I was ever so lucky enough to not lose out and ruin my fantasy league, then maybe I'd be worried about it. But no, my fantasy team didn't do too well. But for Kelce,
I made it in three leagues, if people care.
I just missed out in the work one. I don't know if it's a different one that you're in, but just missed out. Wasn't great for me. I had a lot of guys. I had Robert Woods, Calvin Ridley, all go out. It wasn't great for me.
Yeah, I missed it by a half a game in my longtime home league. I had Ridley and Edwards-Helaire. You know, Edwards-Helaire's been good, but just
one of those.
Yeah, just one of those years.
Wasn't promising, but quickly.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Quickly with Kelce, I was just going to say, just to go back to it, this is a good spot for him too. You know, as much as we're saying the Chargers are a great secondary, they're good against the pass, they haven't been particularly great against tight ends. They're allowing 11.6 yards per reception for the season against tight ends. So again, that's a great spot for somebody who gets the volume that Travis Kelce does, who's as talented as Travis Kelce is. I think that that's a great spot for him.
Yep. And the that receiving yard total has bumped up 1 yard to 65 and a half, and the reception still that juicy 150. I mean, you don't want to pay that, but I think he can easily, like, he's going to get 8 to 10 targets in this game, especially if, well, and we'll see what they do against Tyreek Hill, but it would stand to reason that they're going to use Derwin to sort of float, and maybe they use Derwin to take out Kelce. We'll see. I mean, if that's the case, then that's a little concerning for Kelsey's number. Certainly they'll probably move Derwin around, but we'll probably get plenty of Derwin on Kelce. That's the only reason I like the receptions better than the yards, is you could get six catches for 50 yards and be fine with it.
And not that these games correlate a ton, but earlier this season when they played each other, I believe Kelce led all Chiefs receivers in that game with like 113 yards or something along those lines.
I think these games correlate.
They do, but there's also adjustments and stuff. You know, it's not, you can't just say, okay, because this happened in week 3, it's obviously going to happen in week 15. But if there's a good matchup that they can exploit, they're going to do it.
Yep. By the way, the last time these teams played, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 17 carries, 100 yards.
Yep.
And the Chiefs lost, but bear that in mind, right? And Travis Kelce, 7 catches on 11 targets, 104 yards.
Yep.
So even though the Chiefs, even though what they did was ended in a losing effort, as you pointed out, Sully, 4 turnovers led to 20 points. The Chiefs have to feel like if they don't make those mistakes, that their game plan would have been solid enough that they win the game in Kansas City. And yeah, I'm sort of coming around on the Chiefs now. And that they can use Kelce and Edwards-Helaire to attack. So I like the idea that we have those two guys are sort of our prop focus as well. Four rushes, 16 yards for Justin Herbert against the Chiefs. He can, with his legs, he can get over that like that. Wouldn't be difficult at all. All right. First touchdown scorer. Well, Caesars. The old Emperor's delight here. He gave us some actually decent numbers on the first touchdown score. When we look at these, I think Daryl Williams is live for first touchdown at 22-1. It has to be a pass, of course. I can't believe Jalen Guyton's 16-1. What a joke. Josh Palmer at 30-1, I'm intrigued with.
Yep.
And then you and I both have Herbert and Mahomes. So that's one sort of lower-end guy from each team. And then the two quarterbacks, and you also have Mike Williams at 10-1, which I think is a very nice choice as well.
Yeah, Mike, it's already down to plus 950 now, so that's kind of moving a little bit. But again, he's just somebody who, again, we're looking at Justin Herbert. They're opening up the offense, particularly the deep ball. He's the best guy that they have for that, especially in the red zone there too. He's just a big body guy. He can make the play, whether it's an 80-yard touchdown or something that's a little bit closer in the red zone there. He's somebody that Herbert's going to look to. So that's someone who, again, you know, decent value there. We like to look anywhere around 10-1. That's kind of that meat that we like.
I want double digits, preferably. Right. And so, by the way, just for worth noting here, I've got 15-1 for Daryl Williams on my local site and 12-1 for Mike Williams. That's a Mike Williams 12-1 is it. I just bet it, like literally just bet it.
That's a no brainer on that one for sure. Yeah. And then the quarterbacks, again, like we always say, if they have any sort of rushing equity, you land on it. And with the value that both of those guys have, it's unbelievable, I think. So that those are immediate smash.
Given how well Herbert and Mahomes run, I am shocked that they are both over 20-1.
Yeah.
And I would guess that we see both guys end up going off at like 16-1. I mean, you see these numbers over the course. I don't mind betting them now as we're doing this podcast. Over the course of tomorrow, or of today, excuse me, over the course of Thursday, these numbers shrink down as news and information comes out and people start peppering these, you know, the quarterbacks with the rushing equity. Those guys will come down at like 16-1 would be my guess.
I kind of love
Donald Parham at 35-1 is not terrible either.
I kind of love Josh Palmer at 30-1.
Yeah, I like Josh Palmer. The problem is Palmer is likely to see less action with Keenan Allen back.
Yeah.
He didn't score a touchdown last week. Jalen Guyton did on that insane 65-yard bomb from Herbert, but Palmer got an end zone target for sure. And was definitely someone that they were looking at down near the goal line. So I agree with you. I think Palmer makes a lot of sense. I'm going to know. So I got Palmer, Mike Will. I'll take, I want better value for Daryl. 15-1 is a joke. What's up? Although he gets a ton of carries near the red zone too.
Yeah, I was looking at Gore too, but 35-1, even for somebody like that, it would need a CEH.
I need like 60-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a little, I don't think Daryl Williams will come down too much more from 15-1. But yeah, I think those, I like the guys that we have.
Well, Daryl Williams at Caesars is 22-1.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm looking at on my shop, but I like the picks we have, and I would add Mike Williams to my list as well.
Yeah.
Because I just bet it at 12-1. So if you see me celebrating on Thursday, that's why. Okay, that's it for the gambling portion of the podcast. We are going to now take a look at some DFS action. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you want to get in on that DFS, sweet, sweet DFS cash, head on over, check it out on YouTube. We will have a separate video for it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Talk to you guys later.
Chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.